Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The Bears made their pick.
With the 11th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, my Chicago Bears select Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State.
Keep listening as our Bears experts analyze this move by Ryan Pace and the Bears. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Live from the Hyundai Studios. Presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We are WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Odyssey Station.
The Score!
Dave Wannstedt, Bears head coach for 6 years.
The Bears.
The Bears.
Super Bowl champion.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah!
Great mustache.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause, the mustache.
Wani, hanging out with Molly and Haw.
Open up the door, it's Dave.
Who?
Dave, D-A-V-E.
Dustin, we're not going to waste airtime on that, okay?
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you.
Next question.
Thank you
next
very
question.
Much.
Dave Wannstedt.
With the 11th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, my Chicago Bears select Justin Fields, quarterback, Ohio State.
Then I look at you, and the world's all right with me. Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. One of the great things about Coach Wannstedt is he picks his own theme music on a daily basis, and he's feeling it today. Dave Wannstedt joins us on The Score Hotline, presented by Alphamonte Ford of Melrose Park on North Avenue, or apford.com. Dave, good morning. It's a lovely day.
It's morning, a lovely day, Molly and David. Yes, you know what? I know fans didn't like it when I was playing fantasy and giving them a little bit of you can't handle the truth, Jack Nicholson. So they should be happy. I mean, I'm happy. I think everybody's excited. It was the shot in the arm that Bears fans and I think the organization needed. You put all the excitement aside, and then you look at it and you say, wow, you know, this is just not winning the press conference, as we say. I mean, right. This is, I think, adding a football player that can really potentially take us to the next level.
How surprised were you, Dave? And what is the level of risk involved?
You know what? I was surprised that Justin Fields fell that far. I guess the one that got me was when San Francisco, and I made calls last night. I was on the phone talking to a lot of people last night, and I says, what was with Trey Lance that they didn't take Mac Jones or they did not take Justin Fields, the 49ers? And everybody told me that it was the interview and the time that they spent out there on his second workout that he sold every, that San Francisco felt most comfortable with this guy for whatever reason. Now, I don't know the details of it, but no one talked about arm strength. No one talked about foot speed. No one talked about game experience. All the things that Justin Fields has, championships, you know, pedigree from high school days up. Everyone just talked about that San Francisco just loved and they really connected with this kid. So I don't know. I was shocked that that happened. And then when the Bears had an opportunity, I tell you, you got to give, and I texted Ryan Pace this morning. I mean, the patience that he had sitting there, I mean, he could have traded the whole draft away and jumped up there to number 6 or number 7 and possibly made a trade and got the same player. But he sat there. He was smart. He was patient. And it worked. So he deserves a lot of credit today.
You know, I this is a rarity to say this, Dave, but I mean, I agree with you. I think that Justin Fields was underdrafted. We often talk about guys getting overdrafted and positions mattering and you overdraft guys. I think that given his career, given everything you're talking about, he probably should have been the second quarterback taken. I think that was the expectation coming in. And he just faced like the most scrutiny that you see a quarterback face. There were things picked apart that were based on rumors, not on any truth.
I agree. And I don't know, you know, we're not privy to, maybe there was something that he said or he did or who knows. I mean, but I've talked to a lot of people, as we all have, and I haven't found anything. And don't underestimate that this kid was coached by Ryan Day, who worked for Chip Kelly. And I know Chip, you know, obviously didn't have a lot, hasn't had a lot of success, but Chip knows quarterbacks. And Ryan Day was a quarterback coach with Chip Kelly at San Francisco. And then you got Urban Meyer. And I'll tell you, you talk about, you know, winning and attitude and the weight room and all the intangible things. You know, when you draft a kid, there's always, you know, it's the scenario, we love everything about this kid. And then the final sentence, this is what separates players, in my opinion. Is he an and player or is he a but player? And by that, I mean, oh, boy, he's strong and he's fast and he's but the kid won't work hard. Or you say, and this kid is the hardest worker in the weight room. Everything that I hear about this kid, it's all and stuff, you know, and the kid is willing to learn and the kid, you know, whatever, you know, everything's positive. I think it was a great pickup, and he's got Andy Dalton. And you know what this is going to do, guys? It's going to make Andy Dalton play as good as he can play. And I think that the competition, Andy may not say there's competition. And I know he's been already, you know, he's a starter. He should be. But I'll tell you what, deep down, Andy Dalton's a competitor. And we're going to get as good an effort out of him as we possibly could have. Because he knows if he gets in there and plays bad, throws interceptions, that they're going to make a change. So
absolutely.
Good or bad, I think we're going to get the best effort out of Dalton. And one last point, and now I'm going to get to Matt Nagy. He's got I cannot get that Dallas Cowboy, Chicago Bear, 2 years ago Thursday night game out of my mind. It was as good a game in my mind that Matt Nagy has ever called on offense. Remember, Mitch had himself a half a dozen carries or so. It was quick screens. It was, boy, it was a I loved that game plan, me personally. And I think this is Matt Nagy. It's not going to be a Mac Jones that's going to drop back and got a photo memory and is going to have everything. You're going to have to do what this kid can do best to bring him along. To me, Matt Nagy's going to have to give in on that a little bit because I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen that yet consistently. At times, we've seen him do it with Mitch, but then he reverts right back to the other one. So Matt needs to really look at this thing and say, okay, hey, you know, let's not go too fast with this kid because there's a lot of ability here.
That's the key to the whole thing, Dave, and you see the ability and you will want to accelerate the process, and it'll be the Bears – you know, first loss and Andy Dalton throws a pick, and you know Chicago as well as anybody. You lived it. You know the pressure that will exist to get this kid on the field. What is a reasonable timetable and how delicate is that balance?
You know what? That's a good question. I I think everybody will know at the same time. I really do. They're going to be anxious for the kid to play. There's no question about it. But what the timetable is, I don't know. And I don't think there's pressure from within. And for Ryan Pace to do this, and all our listeners today that I'm talking, you guys need to think about this now, because most coaches in this situation where your job is on the line, head coach and GM, you got to win next year. You're out. Okay. You're probably going to try to do something that helps you win next year. And an offensive tackle, if they would have sat there, it would help them win next year. Now, we don't know if Justin Fields is going to be ready or not. So to me, there has to be a sense of confidence between Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy and George McCaskey. I mean, they had to go in and say, George, if we draft a quarterback, it may take some time and we may have a few lumps next year. And I'm believing, I don't know anything, but I'm believing that George McCaskey said, hey, you get us a quarterback, and if this kid shows a little bit of promise, hey, that we know that we've got a future going and we're all good. So I think this was a draft move. It's great for the Bears. But I think there's also a deeper layer to this from a standpoint of commitment to the head coach and commitment to the general manager.
Well, I mean, if they were on that, you know, win or else scale, why would you let him go into next year's draft? Why would you let him take next year's number one and a fourth round pick? You know, I love the draft, David. As I said, I think he's a guy that's well worth taking and definitely worthwhile. Now, they did pay through the nose. They had to go into next year's draft. And if they aren't going to be here, or if they don't trust him, if ownership doesn't believe in him, why would they let him go into next year's draft?
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. So I think this was a commitment to a young quarterback, but it was a commitment to Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy also. I truly do. And I know crazy things happen, but I think we've kind of sensed out all along that the relationship with George and everybody up there in the front office is a lot stronger than maybe what it is with the fans and with the public and what the public perceives it to be. But I think that the relationship is pretty strong. And I think this, as you just mentioned, Molly, I think this really puts a stamp on that and says, hey, this is not going to be a microwave situation where the kid's got to go out and win 10 games this year.
Everything had to fall in place, Dave. You've been in these draft rooms. I think part of the surprise also came from they dealt with the Giants. Dave Gettleman's never traded back in the draft until last night. The phone call began yesterday morning. The process played out as it did. But once the Panthers and the Broncos took back-to-back cornerbacks, you sensed this was possible. But still, Gettleman had to do something he hadn't done previously in eight drafts. How difficult is that for an executive to get to that point where he's willing to make that kind of deal?
Yeah, it is. But I think that, boy, you know, you look at the Giants right now, they have their quarterback and they have their running back. I mean, you know, Saquon Barkley is 50% of that team or more. And the kid didn't even play last year. He gets hurt in the Bears game. So, I mean, I think they're looking at their team and they're looking at that division. We're playing the Eagles. We're playing the Redskins. We're playing the Cowboys. Hey, we can compete with all those teams right now. So I like the move by the Giants. I really do. I mean, they obviously weren't heads over tails for any one particular player. And they're going to get some good, nice picks out of it. Absolutely. I liked what they did.
Dave, we were texting back and forth with our little chain and agreed that the Bears had won the draft before it started because Aaron Rodgers is upset, and if you could get him out of the division and if that relationship is frayed, all of a sudden you might get a couple more wins in the division. Everybody moves up a step. Life becomes significantly more difficult for Green Bay. And I got to tell you, I was stunned that they took a corner. I know they need a corner, but why not throw the guy a little bouquet? Why not take the best receiver on the board? And there's a couple of good ones that were there.
Yeah, I agree with you on every point. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers leaves Green Bay, it's a couple wins. That's a win for everybody in the division. and why they took a corner. I mean, their secondary is young. I mean, particularly on the edge and at the slot position. So he had to be one of those situations where, oh, he's the highest rated player we got, and everybody likes him, and that's who we're taking with no consideration. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm saying, you know what, these guys are not hearing one word that I'm saying. And it's a little bit like New England with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick the last couple of years. You know, Bill would not step up and draft or sign a receiver or spend any money on anything that helped helped Tom that much, and it got to Tom in the end. And I think that that's where we're at right now with Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers.
All right, Dave, hold on. We're going to take a quick time out. We want to come back and talk more about this. It's a lovely day, and it's always a joy to talk to you. That is Coach Wannstedt. You're listening to Mully and Haw on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. Dave Wannstedt hanging out with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always a pleasure to talk to Coach Wannstedt. And of course, he's on the hotline, the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford, Melrose Park on North Avenue, apford.com. And Dave, we look at the rest of this draft, and obviously the Bears now have an opportunity to pick up some more help. And we've talked about these positions, about wide receiver, worried about the future with Allen Robinson, about the cornerback position without Kyle Fuller. And, of course, the offensive tackle is something that you need to get to, and there are still some guys on the board. What direction do you go? How do you handle a day two of a draft?
Well, I think now you're definitely in the best player, okay? We have several needs. You just mentioned them, Mully. So we all know that we have these needs. So we're sitting in the room right now, and we don't pick early, so we're going to give it a little bit of time and see how the players fall off the board. Now, the interesting thing I always thought here was if you get to, because we made, trades. I mean, going back to Dallas, I mean, Jimmy in the second round, that didn't mean that just because we gave up some picks that we weren't going to do something this year to get a guy that we wanted. So I think they sit there now and have the same philosophy that they had in the first round. And by that, I mean, they're going to sit there and they're going to watch and see how the players fall. And then if they get within 5, 6, maybe 10 picks of where their place is, and there is a player there, there's an offensive tackle there, or you mentioned receiver or corner that they are in love with. It would not surprise me one bit if they try to package something up for this year and move up a few spots and grab that player. I mean, I don't think that's out of the question. I think Ryan Pace has proven and he's shown that he is not afraid and he's confident enough and he's got the support within to move up and get a player that they want.
Dave, I think that this is the Bears hitting reset. I said earlier in the program, this feels like the most exciting thing the Bears have done, the most exciting day since they traded for Khalil Mack back before the 2018 season on that August day. What does it do in terms of, from your perspective, their championship aspirations, how you view the Bears and their ambition and their ability to be one of those teams that goes into the playoffs or goes deep into the playoffs and obviously, starts to build a Super Bowl contender once again?
Yeah, well, I think the great thing, and I mentioned earlier, when you draft a player and give up this much is when you say, okay, he's got all these intangibles and, or you're saying he's got all these intangibles, but the guy only played 14 games in his career, but the guy really isn't that hard worker. I mean, I think that Fields checks all the boxes and he's an and player in my category. So, and part of that and would be, and this guy has won championships. This guy has played on undefeated seasons. So when you take that part of it and you move those expectations to the Bears, it should be that. I'm sure that's what this kid's thinking. I mean, being around Urban Meyer, you know, I mean, I'm sure that this kid's thinking, hey, it's championship or bust. I mean, that's what we do. That's why we play the game, to get a ring and get a trophy.
Dave, was there any one team that seemed to do better in the draft than you expected? Who would you, you know, I always look at the division. Couple of offensive tackles, you know, the Lions got a really good player there. I thought the Vikings did a great job trading down and also getting Christian Darrisaw.
Yeah, they both those teams, I mean, got players that they need. You know, obviously the Vikings did it and picked up a few extra picks. You know, Green Bay was the one that probably, if you're going to be a little surprised, we mentioned that earlier, you know, they take another defensive back. I mean, that's a little bit of a head scratcher. I'm sure they have their reasons. You know, one point that I think needs to be made here. I was talking to some people and they were talking about, here's San Francisco and they got Jimmy Garoppolo. And why did they move up and give so much when they were bound and determined to take a quarterback? And someone told me that they like their defense so much that now they're going to have a rookie. They're going to have a quarterback on a rookie contract. And that's going to enable John Lynch, the general manager, and that organization to keep more of these defensive guys. And so I'm sitting there this morning, and I'm thinking about the Bears scenario. And, you know, if the Bears had a Andy Fulton or Dalton or somebody that they would have to extend, a veteran guy, as compared to having a rookie quarterback, Justin Fields, let's assume that everything's going to work out and he's going to be the quarterback of the future. You know, their starting quarterback is going to be on a rookie deal. That's going to leave a lot more money for some of these veteran players and primarily some of these defensive guys that their contracts are coming up. So, you know, you hate to think in terms like that, but I think it's something that, and I heard directly that San Francisco, it was part of their conversation. I think it's smart that, hey, you know, a year from now, where are we going to be at as a team? You know, there might be this pick, if it works out, which I believe it will, could help the Bears organization in the next few years more than what we're talking about now.
That's practical. That's definitely practical. Who starts more games as a rookie, Dave, Mac Jones or Justin Fields?
Oh, wow. I'm going to say Justin Fields. I think just because of I'm going to say Justin Fields. You know, I don't know Mac Jones as much. I mean, I do the Big Ten shows, so I've watched Justin Fields play for 2 or 3 years and obviously know Urban Meyer, and I talk with Ryan Day, so I'm a lot closer to him. So I would say Justin Fields, and plus I think the Chicago fans – are going to be a little bit more anxious if things don't go great early with Andy Dalton to make a change than what New England would be. I think Belichick's not concerned about what anybody says. He's going to do what he wants to do.
Dave, great stuff. Great catching up with you. It is a lovely day. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
Dave.
All
right, guys. All right. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
That is our guy, Coach Munster.
You know what that means.
You know what? I start salivating. I don't know what the hell's going on. What a joy. We are delighted to welcome in Eddie Olczyk. The Score Hotline is presented by El Pomonte Ford in Melrose Park on North Avenue or apford.com. Eddie, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Eddie.
Hey, what's up, Molly? David, nice to be with you guys. And I know there's a lot of excitement for what took place last night. NFL draft, so I appreciate you guys squeezing me into your fine show. And I think, was that Wani I just heard?
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, he's got a knee. He's got a knee.
I love it. Eddie doing Wani. You
know, hey, Eddie, it's so important we talk to you. You know, we know the Derby is going to be on from 2:30 to 7:30 on NBC. We know you're a huge part of it. And NBC SN is going to be on from 12:30 to 7:30. I cannot wait for this race. It's like suddenly the Derby's normal again. I got kind of freaked out trying to figure out how the horses would react, what age they were, what was going on. It's like we're back to like a normal Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, I mean, look at Molly. You know, last year we ran the Kentucky Derby with no fans on the first Saturday in September. It doesn't roll off the tongue like the first Saturday in May, does it? And
no.
We're going to have, it looks like, 45,000 people here tomorrow. Usually we can get 165 or 170. And look at, you're right. I mean, we're still, all due respect, we all are still navigating our way through, you know, a worldwide pandemic, but things seem to be moving forward. I think people are just excited. I mean, the buzz around Louisville right now, I've been here for a couple of days. I mean, it's off the charts. I think just people are excited, you know, to realize there's other humans out there and they're interacting with people and you're seeing, you know, I think people are just looking forward to having a good time. Now, there are obviously rules in place here at Churchill, but I just have to say, let's just call it, and we do live in a PC world, is like a mask and everything else. But when people start having a few pops, the masks are going to be used as cup holders, I think. I don't think that really that's going to end up going, you know, hand in hand or mask to mask, whatever in the hell you want to use. But look, it's great. And, you know, we got an unbelievable day of racing today and then a great day of racing, great day of racing tomorrow. And, just really looking forward to being a part of our NBC coverage and to hopefully hand out a few winners tomorrow, because at the end of the day, that's why I'm here, is to try to make the betting public and people out there that are getting their feet wet to try to make them a little bit of money.
Well, Eddie, can you tell us what you know about the agenda, about a field that includes known agenda?
Well, look at, let's just go right for it. David, that's the horse I'm picking. I really like Known Agenda. Known Agenda is a horse that just won the Florida Derby, which is a big prep race for the Kentucky Derby. They're going to run a mile and a quarter. He's coming out of post position number one now. The downside of it is that the post position number one hasn't been all that great. I think we've only had one winner out of post position number one. And since it was in 86 with the great Ferdinand, Mully, Bill Shoemaker wrote Ferdinand in 86, came out of post position number one. So that's the last time that we've had a winner. And prior to that, I think it was like in the early 50s. They changed the starting gate here the last couple of years, so it's a little bit more advantageous to be on the inside. But I think this horse is tactical. He likes being on the inside. I mentioned they added blinkers to him, so he's a little bit more into the race. He's got the best rider in the world right now in Irad Ortiz Jr. The connections have won the Kentucky Derby before with Always Dreaming back in 2017. And there's a little Pucks and Ponies tie to Known Agenda. The ownership group is St. Elias Stables, which is owned by Vinny and Teresa Viola, and they happen to own the Florida Panthers. And they know their way around the racetrack with some Breeders' Cup champions and what have you. So, look, I think a square price will probably be 7 or 8 to 1, because essential quality, the 14 horse is going to get the majority of the money. But I really think that Known Agenda, since the blinkers are on, I think there's going to be a little bit of pace in this race. I believe that Midnight Bourbon is really the key to the race. So if you're watching the race tomorrow night and you see Midnight Bourbon getting out to the lead early, that will certainly be a good sign if you like a horse that maybe could sit in mid-pack like I do, like Known Agenda. So 7 or 8 to 1 certainly is in my wheelhouse. And if I happen to get a couple of horses under, David and Molly, I might need a wheelbarrow to come back home to Chicago.
That's great to hear.
Oh, that's beautiful. What are you doing? What are you playing with the Oaks? I mean, obviously, we got to wait for the Derby, but let's get started.
Yeah, today, I mean, a great race. The Phillies running for the Lilies here a little bit later here at Louisville, and it's a great race. Like, we got some tremendous 3-year-old Phillies going today. Malathat for Todd Fletcher, Search Result for Chad Brown. Those two horses are on the outside. It's the 10 and 12 respectively, and I think it's going to come down to those two horses. You also have a Philly trained by Brad Cox, who has the favorite tomorrow. In essential quality, the 14 horse in the Derby. He has Travel Column, who's done nothing wrong to this point. But I'm going to zero in on Malathat, the 10 and the 12 Search Results, and maybe turn a little. I'm going to play a little exact to try to get the top two finishes in exact order, and maybe get a little bit of an investment. Maybe, like, you know, David and I maybe play like $4 ones, and Mully will play like a $4,000 exact.
Oh, come on. There you go.
Hey, yeah. hopefully turn that $4 into maybe like 18 or 19, and. You know, in the big financial, in the financial world, is, you know, what's wrong with that ROI, right? Turn 4 into 19. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good investment.
If there's a horse out there that's going to surprise people, Eddie, who might it be, and what are the chances?
Yeah, look, I think there's two. I'll give you one that I think, and I'll give you the buzz horse here, David. The name of the horse is the 9-horse Hot Rod Charlie tomorrow in the Kentucky Derby. Is training like, you know, like a bear. You know, sometimes, and Mo, you know this because you're a horse player and been around it a long, long time. You know, when every time you turn, somebody's going, "Hey, Hot Rod Charlie, Hot Rod Charlie." You're going, "Okay, yeah, Hot Rod Charlie's got absolutely no chance because everybody in the world likes the horse." You know, like it's almost like in the movie Let It Ride. You know, when Richard Dreyfuss is going around and let me just say this: if anybody hasn't seen Let It Ride, please don't watch it. You'll have to go one off for about an hour and 45 minutes. But he goes around the track and says, "Who do you like?" And he scratches it up. Who do you like? Scratches it up. Finally, he gets to the last one and says, "Okay, that's the horse." So for me, look at Hot Rod Charlie. Look at tactical, coming into it extremely well. Had great success at the fairgrounds where in New Orleans where he ran the last time. So that would really be the buzz horse. And the horse that I'm going to throw in there as a bomber will be the 5-horse Sainthood. He's only run 3 times. He's only won one time in his career. Going to be every bit of 45 or 50 to 1. But again, another horse that can be very tactical. Let me just go inside baseball real quick, guys. I know you're pressed for time, but people that are watching the race, the last seven years, the winning horse is either sitting first, second, or third when the lead horse gets to the mile marker of the race with a quarter mile to go. So what does that tell you? It tells you, look, you got to be relatively close, and then the last quarter of a mile, you can make a run home. So again, the last 7 years at that mile marker has been really key. You've been in the first, second, or third position, the eventual winner, and 4 of those were on the lead at the mile marker. So the last quarter mile, there might not be a lot of change in it unless they go really, really fast up front.
Walking tall, Trotter. line for that movie.
Hey Molly, yeah. Molly, yeah. Molly.
Well played.
Hey, Molly, I'll just say this. The Bears last night had a very, very good day.
Eddie, you're the best. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
so
Eddie.
Just to solidify before we let you go. So we're what are we playing under the horse?
I'm going to play the one. I'm going to play the one with no known agenda with the 5 Sainthood, the nine horse Hot Rod Charlie, and then I'm also going to use the favorite Essential Quality, the 14. I'm not using the 14 and a lot of my bigger plays tomorrow finishing first or second. I'm going to play that horse for third or fourth and try to beat the favorite. Because, look, if you can beat the favorite, you got a chance. You don't have to invest a whole heck of a lot. But I'm going to be using the 1, 9, 5, and 14. And if it comes in any order like that, like I said, I might need 2 wheelbarrows to come back home to Chicago.
Eddie, stuff, God Eddie. Bless you. Thank you.
Okay, guys.
Enjoy
stay
yourself.
Safe. Thanks for having me.
Great stuff, Eddie. How about that? He's from Churchill Downs. Give me a break. How awesome is that?
Yeah,
guy knows his stuff.
You can hear it in his voice, can't you? He's excited.
Well, let me tell you something. I'm sitting here right now like scratching my hands. That means money's coming my way. Oh, I got the picks now. Let's go. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
He provides something, that element with your legs. When we talk to these defensive coordinators, Jason, like when we interview defensive coordinators after the season, they all fear these athletic quarterbacks. It adds a whole another dynamic they have to defend. And a lot of guys don't. And he has that. So I think, Jason, there's a balance with making sure that you're maximizing that and using that, but you're not putting them at risk either, you know? And I think he has that. And I think, again, the other thing that he has, Jason, which I thought was really good to see live, is I think he has the body type to handle the rigors of our game, you know, and be able to do those things where some guys, you might worry about that a little bit more with their body structure, but he's got a muscular body type. He's extremely athletic. He knows when to get smart and avoid those type of hits. But again, that speed is real. And I think we'd be doing a disservice if we didn't utilize all areas of his game, all strengths of his game. And one of those is his mobility.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That is the voice of Ryan Pace, and he is talking about the number one draft pick for the Bears, the number 11 selection. They moved up 9 spots to get him, and they gave up a first, a fifth this year, a first and a fourth next year, and his name is Josh Fields. It's going to be so much fun to see how this works out, David. And we've got someone in Justin Fields that we can celebrate and feel good about. And they're one of the winners of the draft. There's no way around it.
I think you're right. They're one of the winners of the first round of the draft. The rest we'll see today and tomorrow as it unfolds. And what Ryan Pace said there underscores the key thing about how this needs to work and how this can work. Matt Nagy now has the burden on his shoulders to find a way to maximize what Justin Fields offers and all that entails. Not try to fit Justin Fields into this box that is his offense that he brought from Kansas City and is represented by the wallpaper of all his play calls and game plans. That, you know, you need to redecorate, Matt Nagy, and you need to rethink the way you approach your offensive football team. You now have a dynamic quarterback who has athleticism, arm talent, and moxie. This is a leader. This is somebody who's going to be a winner, ideally. So what you've got to do is you have to follow his lead as much as he follows yours. And Ryan Pace said it. This is the words out of the boss's mouth. It would be a disservice if you didn't take advantage of that mobility, of that athleticism. So that's the burden that Matt Nagy now carries, because he wasn't able to do that with Mitch Trubisky. Different quarterback, different scenario, but same challenge. Find a way to get the most out of your quarterback, because that's on you, Matt Nagy. That's why you're here.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And the fact of the matter is that he's right about defensive coordinators. Multiple dimension attacks are what people fear. If you've got a team that you know is predictable and you can stop them in a certain way, it just makes life so much easier. But if you got a team that can hurt you in a couple different ways, then, you know, you've got your work cut out for you. So that is a great dimension, David. And I hope we see that this year, frankly, because I think you can use him in different ways. I'm getting ahead of myself. I just want them to do the right thing by the guy, number one. But, getting him on the field.
It's understandable. It's understandable to get ahead of ourselves a little bit. I mean, this is the day after the draft where the Bears really surprised us by kind of hitting reset and restoring some hope. I think that's the main thing. You know, Mully, it's hard not to compare, because they just went through this with Mitch. But with Mitch, it was like, okay, well, he's got 13 starts, and boy, wasn't that Sun Bowl exciting. With Justin Fields, this guy, he's got a 22 record for the Ohio State University, and he, you know, that Clemson game was epic, and it was in the semifinal of the college football playoff, and he had 6 touchdown passes. Big difference in the expectation level, big difference in the capability, I think, of the quarterback. He just moved up to draft.
I liked what Dave said about Trey Lance going as high as he did. I think what he was saying basically was, you know, they had interviewed him, they liked his personality, they liked everything about, you know, the skill set, and he was a blank canvas. And a guy like Kyle Shanahan is looking at that and thinking, you know, I can paint my masterpiece with this guy. And I think he probably would have been more likely, if he was left to his own device, to take a guy like Mac Jones because of the connection to the scheme and all the rest of it.
You know what that sounds like to me, Mully? I mean, I don't disagree with what Dave said, the way he put it, and he's exactly right. It sounds like football hubris, though, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is a great example, the latest one, and how often do we see it? Teams that have some success, they put together a nice roster. We saw it here in Chicago after the Bears got to the Super Bowl way back when, after the 2006 season. You think you can do no wrong, and you get drunk with power, and you wonder if the 49ers succumb to that, because what are they doing? They moved up that far and gave up that much for this big of a risk?
Yeah, it's a big risk, and it's a big move. They do feel good about their team. Great. So they get to keep Jimmy Garoppolo for a year while they develop their quarterback. That's great. I don't know. I mean, if you watch that team, when Garoppolo plays, they win. And when he doesn't play, they struggle. And he doesn't play too often because he gets hurt a lot. So all those things come into play. But I'm kind of with you, David. I think there is this
penchant, and I hope it works out, because I do like Kyle Shanahan and I like that team, but there is this penchant to sort of, you know, think that you have a certain amount of expertise that you're going to kind of put on someone and they're going to just follow it and off you go. It's quarterback development takes more than that. I'm not saying he doesn't know that. He's done a great job with different quarterbacks, but I find it fascinating. And I think I look at the Bears with this similar idea that now Mitch is gone. You don't have to worry about picking up the last option year, right? Now you're back to a guy on a rookie contract, and you're back to being able to invest in your defense, in other aspects of your team. And when you look at the NFL, you either win with like a veteran quarterback willing to play for less, or with a young guy still on a rookie deal, and he makes your team better because you got every other option.
And you can afford those other options, and you can get players at the top of their position throughout the league. So the Bears put themselves in that situation, and they face that with Justin Fields moving forward. Let me ask you this. I think that, as we said, the Bears are one of the teams that have to feel very good about the way they spent the first night. Who maybe has a fan base that doesn't feel so good this morning? Which of the teams? I think the 49ers, it's mixed. I think there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of hope. And if Trey Lance is a star, sure, that was a smart pick. But I don't know that it's a consensus that it is. I also think the Packers had a lousy draft. I don't understand that based on what happened with Aaron Rodgers. Are those the two teams that stand out to you as maybe had the most curious choices?
I think without a doubt it's the Raiders. And the reason is the Raiders operate – to their own drummer, to their own flute. They take these picks. What I don't understand about the Alex Leatherwood selection at number 17 is if no one else had him rated that high on your board, you know, everyone's like, oh, like they understand what they want and they go get it. You know, they've done that too often. The value in a draft is understanding what the position is worth. They could have traded down and got the same player, in my opinion. So I thought that was a weird one.
I think that's a really good point, and that's probably the best choice for the oddest choice, because, you know, I think NFL.com had Leatherwood ranked 62nd overall, and here they are taking him 17th, but that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Now, I have a ton of respect for Mike Mayock, and certainly John Gruden has won a Super Bowl, but when you become – sort of on this island and nobody else, he's not worried about a consensus. Mike Mayock knows better than everybody else because he drafts players that reflect that philosophy. So maybe he does, but it certainly seems like today that's a strange pick.
Yeah. I mean, and I don't care how good the player turns out to be. It's about where you take him and what the value is of that spot. That's all. What I'm saying is, you know, you could get anything. You could trade down. You could get out of the first round. He'd probably still be there.
I agree. I
mean, so that's the thing. And they, you know, look at a couple of their draft picks. They've done that a few times, which is, you know, again, you know, I like a guy that has conviction. I think they know what they're looking at, and there's a reason that they like a different guy. But you gotta understand what the groupthink is to know where the guy will go. And if you can wait a little bit, you know, you can gain something by doing that. So, I mean, again, it's easy for me to second guess it, but that was the one that jumped out at me.
I thought it was interesting. The Giants, they moved back to the Bears spot, and they took Kadarius Toney, the wide receiver out of Florida. And, Molly, at 22nd, the guy we spent a lot of time talking yesterday about, Caleb Farley, the cornerback from Virginia Tech with the pre-injured back and the knee surgery on his resume, he goes to the Titans, and he might end up being fine. You know, that might end up being a great pick, but boy, I was surprised to see him come off the board before some other cornerbacks. And by the way, we haven't mentioned, but congratulations to Northwestern for the first time in such a long time. Two first-round draft picks, Rashawn Slater and Greg Newsome. Congratulations to those two guys.
And that was fantastic. And that's great for the program, and delighted for Fitz. I saw him there. They showed him on TV briefly. He just had the greatest smile. I mean, you could tell how happy he was, and it's just great for the program. And hopefully we're talking about more of those guys going over the next couple of days. All right, we're going to bring in Dan and Layla next. We're going to talk to our beloved colleagues, Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.